Namo Om Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Vudali Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Hirinamini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadharini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So, Sukhadukhe Sami Kritva Labha Labhau Jaya Jaya Tatho Yuddhaya Yujyasya Naivam Papam Avapsyasi Sukhadukha Sami Kritva Labha Labhau Jaya Jaya Tatho Yuddhaya Yujyasya Naivam Papam Avapsyasi Do thou fight for the sake of fighting? Without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing, you shall never incur sin. So, yesterday, when we were discussing this verse, we were discussing yesterday, and we mentioned that what Krishna has spoken about the dualities of material nature. The dvandvam. The word Krishna uses dvandvam. A person who has crossed over the dualities of material nature, Krishna has given him a title. That's called dvandva atitan. Dvandva atitan. One who has transcended the dualities of the world, dualities of the nature. So Krishna has given this title to him as dvandva atitan, one who has crossed over the dualities. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find similar references. Later on, one who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature is called Gunatitan. Here, it is referred as Dvandvatitan, and there later on you will see the word used Gunatitan, one who has crossed over the modes of nature. Practically, all these different names, what you find in the Bhagavad Gita, Gunatitan, Dvandvatitan, and Bhakta, Yogi, Jnani, they are all one and the same, but spoken in different contexts. Therefore, these different names have come. If you look at their qualifications, they are one and the same. Later on, in the fourth chapter, if you look, you will see there, Krishna says about fourth chapter, verse 22. A person who has crossed over the dualities of the material nature is called Dvandvatitan. He says there, Yadrcha labha sandushto. If you look at the verse 22, Yadrcha labha sandushto dvandvadido vimalsara. One who has gone over the dvandvam, duality. So basically, what we were saying yesterday was that freeing oneself from this duality, dvandvam, sukham, dukham, profit, loss, happiness, distress, success, failure. These are all dvandvams, isn't it? Dualities of the material nature. One should go beyond than that. That's what Krishna was talking yesterday about what we see in the verse. Sukhadukha samayagritva labha labho jaya jayo. That verse, which we were discussing yesterday. So, one who has reached that stage, Krishna calls him as Dvandvatitan. And that's what in that fourth chapter Krishna refers to. Samadukha sukhe yadicca labha sandushto dvandvatito vimalsara samasiddho asiddho jakritva abhina nibhadyade. Isn't it? So that verse is that thing, what Krishna was talking yesterday, what Krishna is talking about. So, this is the same qualities you will see when you go to a devotee also later. A devotee's qualifications, if you look in the 12th chapter, you will see the same qualities mentioned there for a devotee. So in other words, the qualities are same for all of them. Whether it is a sthita prajna, whether it's a dvandvatita, whether it's gunatita, whether it's a bhakta, whether it's a jnani, whether it's a yogi, the qualities referring to all of them are very much the same. But they are addressed in different names at different places. Krishna has addressed them in different names at different places. That's all. We shouldn't get confused over why Krishna used that word there, another word here. But practically they are one and the same. because spiritual qualities are always the same, isn't it? It has to be the same. For a person who he is going beyond the modes of material nature, who is free from the dualities of life, and who is realized spiritual platform, his quality, they all speak the same language. In the same second chapter, later on, Krishna calls a person Sthita Prajna. Sthita Prajna means one whose intelligence is steady. If you look at his quality, it is the same as Dundhuadhidhan. It's not much different. Arjuna will say, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, what is the language he speaks? How does he act? How does he talk? All kinds of questions Arjuna poses in front of Krishna. Same just like Uddhava did. So practically we can see that Bhagavad Gita is speaking about the spiritual qualities of a person who is getting closer to realization. So from there you can understand that this Dvandvatitan or going beyond the dualities is a must for a person. So without caring for the material side of the benefit of anything in this world, we should look at it the way Krishna tells us to do. That means to see, go beyond the dualities of life. And we have seen yesterday that what is happiness and what is distress means, isn't it? What does it mean? It means that how your mind accepts anything, that's all what it depends on. There is no change in what happens in the world outside. How your mind accept it or reject it, accordingly your happiness and distress depends on that. So Krishna is saying that because you are dependent on your mind and based on that you are accepting and rejecting things on this world, that is causing the dualities in the life. Dualities are coming from that. So to go beyond the mind, to be situated on the platform of the soul, that is what is expected from us. Not to get pulled by the mind, in other words. Because Krishna says, if you go by the mind, you will always experience duality. And if you experience duality, you are meant to suffer. So, peace comes, Krishna says, peace comes within when you go beyond that duality, so the mind. So, you can see all these things in practical life also, how perception makes everything. How you perceive things. Two brahmacharis from a remote village in Tamil Nadu went to Benares to study. To study Shastram there. Because Benares was the center of learning for many, many years. Thousands of years. When they left those days, there was no transport facilities. They had to walk long distances. And there was no postal facilities. You won't hear anything until they come back. Or if somebody comes from Benares to the village, they will send some message through him. This was the way communications were done those days, many hundred years ago. So these two brahmacharis went to Benares to study. They are from a Brahmana background, and they wanted some advanced studies, and Benares was the center of learning for a very, very long time. So they went to Benares, and when they left the village, they said that we will come back after our studies, whatever time it takes, because you don't even know how much time it's going to take to finish the study. So they went there. Afterwards, what happened was that one of the brahmacharis somehow got ill and died in Benares, out of these two brahmacharis. Other brahmacharis stayed back in Benares to continue his studies. In the meanwhile, somebody from Benares was traveling back to the village. In a normal way he was going back. So the other brahmachari told him that when you go to the village, you go to the house of this person who died, the brahmachari, and tell him that this has happened, that he died here. And go to my house and tell them that I'm still here studying, and when I finish my studies I'll come back. Just send this message through this person who was going back to the village. What happened? He went back to the village, and by now he all got confused in his mind. Got the whole thing changed. In other words, the person, the brahmachari who died, to his house he went and told them that your son is doing very well and he'll come back after his studies. And to the other house he went and told them that the living brahmachari is coming from. He went and told them, because miles and hundreds of miles walking from here to the other end, and he didn't have proper memory or whatever that has happened. The whole thing happened the opposite way. He went and told the brahmachari who was living in his house, he said, your son is dead, and what can we do with this happened? All the history he told him like that. So the brahmachari whose house where he went and told that his son died, they arranged for a Shraddha ceremony. Yeah, because they, as soon as they came to know, they had to perform all the ceremonies, isn't it? And the other brahmachari who is still living, but in his house, they went and performed the Shraddha ceremony. And the other place where he died, where he is really died, in their house, because he has given the wrong message, they started celebrations there that he is coming back very soon. So what does this indicate? This is only to tell us that this, how your mind accepts anything in this world, it may be true, it may not be true, doesn't matter. But how your mind has accepted it, everything depends on that, isn't it? Because, so, one place, big feast, where the brahmachari died, and because they were thinking that he's coming back, isn't it? In another place, Shraddha ceremony is going on, where he's still living there. In Banaras, he's still living, and the Shraddha ceremony is going on in his house. So, practically you can see the thing what happens and the emotion it has created, there is no connection. There is no connection between the two. This emotion has created, oh, my son is dead, or my son is still living happily. This is all from misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Misunderstanding it has come. So as soon as the misunderstanding happened, the emotions were created inside. That so what it means is, practically it is these emotions that controls our life in this world also, isn't it? Whichever way you like it, you can take it, whichever way you like it. So knowing very well these things, Krishna is saying that strictly speaking, everything is Brahman. It is Brahman that is present. That in either happiness or in distress, let your mind not get affected by that. Don't move. Allow that not to move. Profit, loss, or in every situation, if you can accept it like that, Isha Vastamidam Sarvam. That even if you have not experienced it, accept it in that way. That is Krishna's suggestion. That even if you have not realized it as Brahman, that in this creation, Maya, anything can happen. We are giving importance to many things, but Krishna's point is that they itself is not the end. What we see in this world with our eyes and what happens here, how much importance we give to it. There is something higher than all this, that's the truth. So Krishna is pointing out this to Arjuna. Arjuna, that what comes in your experience later, that leave it like that. But while accepting things, have this attitude or have this mood towards that. So Krishna's suggestion is, before it becomes your emotions or becomes any kind of experiences inside in your activities in this world, realize that everything in this world is Krishna's manifestation. First thing, Bhagavat Swarupam. Whole Jagat, the creation is Krishna's manifestation. Accepting that principle, and if the mind is moving or mind is getting disturbed over it, not allow the remind the mind about this, not to get distracted from that, and bring the mind back to peace, to a balanced state all the time. This is what that verse is telling us. That sukha dukkha samaye kritva labha labhau jaya jayo. In all these situations, not allow the mind to be completely excited about it. You will see this in all the great personalities. All the Mahatmas have got this stability in their mind. They don't move. Whatever happens in this world, mind is always steady. For us, small happiness in life, we get so excited. isn't it? We get I wasn't working and I was looking for a job. Suddenly a good offer comes from somewhere. I feel everything is under control now. So immediately we feel excited about it, isn't it? Excitement happens like that. Or if you make a good kill in business or anything, make a lot of money, you feel very excited that you are in control. Very difficult to check that at that point, isn't it? To have that. Even if it's not coming out, it is inside, playing its part. Similarly, when somebody very close to us leaves us, we feel that separation so strongly. Or some serious problems with the health or anything, relationships, all these kind of things. In daily life, householders particularly, we feel very affected by that, isn't it? So, but if you look at Mahatma's great souls who are realized, if you look in their life, you don't see any excitement any time. Every day is the same for them. Day after day after day after day, they keep on living in the same balanced state of mind. That is what is the symptom of spiritual life. That is bhakti. That when one is able to keep that state of consciousness, that irrespective of what goes on in the maya, does not touch you, then you are, Krishna says, is cross the dualities of life. Dualities of dundvadi, then. That reference what Krishna is giving there. Now, so that is what, how to bring it into the peace. If you feel hate towards anyone, by any reason, if a hate develops inside, Krishna says, think that he is Krishna and don't hate him. That Krishna's presence inside and not to hate him. And bring the mind back to peace again. Therefore, profit loss happens, the same thing. Krishna is suggesting. It is Krishna's desire that I should lose money in business and able to accept it in that way. Or if you make profit also, in the same way. Everything what Krishna gives us in our life, accept it as Krishna's prasadam. Krishna's prasadam is not only the prasadam what we eat. This is actually Krishna's real prasadam, is when he gives us a good kick in this world. That's when real prasadam we experience. That the happiness and distress, whatever it comes to us, from Krishna gives to us, to accept it in this mood, that is the Krishna's prasadam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look at this way, in the Saptama Skanda, that's in the 7th canto, in the 15th chapter, Srinarada Maharshi talks about this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Probably, if you have looked at 7th canto, you will see. There is the Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, Dharmam discussed in the Bhagavatam. So there you will notice that the Brahmachari Dharmam and Grahastha Dharmam, then Vanaprastha Dharmam and Sannyasa Dharmam, he talks about that. So Srinarada Maharshi says there something very important. If you can go back and look at it, and what does Srinarada Maharshi says about this. Three things he has spoken there. He talks about Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. Three things he says there. Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam and Dravyadvaidam. That what does all this mean? Dravyadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam. Krishna says there, Srinarada Maharshi says there, Dravyam means assets, properties and all that. That's all Dravyam. To take the attitude that everything is Krishna's. All the wealth, assets, everything in this world, whatever is Krishna's. It is Krishna's property. If you take it like that, that is known as Dravyadvaidam. Dravyadvaidam it is called. That you can take from that for your maintenance, fully conscious that it is Krishna's. In that understanding, if you take anything from this world to maintain the body, that is acceptable. Nothing more than that. But once we start thinking it's mine, or it's ours, and you start acting in that way, that is not favorable, Krishna says. Srinarada Maharshi says there. That whatever Krishna gives, accept it. If Krishna takes away anything, don't complain anything about it. It is Krishna's property anyway. So, if you practice Dravyadvaidam, Srinarada Maharshi says there, your Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam will go. You are Kartrutvam, that means I am the doer, and Bhoktrutvam, I am the enjoyer, will go from inside. if you practice Dravyadvaitam. And Kriyadvaitam is another next thing, what he talks about. Srinarayana Maharshi says there, if you think that all the time you are an instrument in Krishna's hands, and Krishna is forcing me to do or act in a particular way in this world, that is known as Kriyadvaitam. In other words, that if you practice it, you will be released from karma. Karma, effect of karma will go from everyone. So, practice of this Dravyadvaitam and Kriyadvaitam mentioned in the Bhagavadam is with these intentions. Srinarayana Maharshi mentions this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And the third one is very subtle, Bhavadvaitam. Bhavadvaitam means that without allowing inside to develop any attachment or aversion to any living entity in this world, to live that. For that, every time when you see a living entity, take it that Krishna has come in that form. So you will not develop any hate inside towards anyone. Sometimes while doing business externally, you have to show some indifference to people. Sometimes because they are, it is finding it difficult to deal. But inside, you should not allow that to build up in any case with anybody in this world. Not only other human beings, even with other living entities also. And if one develops that, and to do that, Krishna Srinarayana Maharshi says there, that you think of, when you feel that you have some problem with someone, just imagine that Krishna has come and standing there in that dress in front of you. If you think like that, Srinarayana Maharshi says you won't develop any attachment or aversion or any ill feelings towards that person. So that's a way to escape from that. So these three things is mentioned in the 15th chapter. There's only 15th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto. So the last four chapters are relating to instructions to brahmacharis, grahastha, svanaprastham and sannyasam. He says, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam, Tadatmana, Vataya Svana Bhutyeha, Trina Pradhunyade Muni. So, Muni, one who is engaged in this, thoughtful person, he will always keep these three things, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, and Dravyadvaitam, Tadatmana. That will be, his mind will be conditioned in that way. He practices that very seriously. Karyakaranavastavyam kimarshanam patatam duvad avadastuvad vikalpasya bhavadvaitam taduchyade. Bhavadvaitam taduchyade. Bhavadvaitam means that karyam and karanam. Krishna is the karanam and the material world is the karyam. Krishna is the karanam, cause, and material world is the karyam. So, in that relationship, that this material world is existing, why? Because Krishna is existing. Krishna is not existing because the material world is existing. Because Krishna is existing, material world is existing. So, this will come in the beginning of the Bhagavatam also. That one is the cause and the other one is the effect. Krishna is the cause and world is the effect of that. So, because the effect is due to the cause, the effect also should not be different from the cause. Cause is present in the effect. Isn't it? That means, because the world has come from Krishna, Krishna is present in the world, in other words. That is what we are recognizing in Bhavadvaitam. In Bhavadvaitam, when you see anybody, when you see that they have also come from Krishna, if you recognize that, you are recognizing Krishna in Krishna's creation. Isn't it? So, that is called, he says here, Karyakaranavastave Aikyamarshanam Patatanduvad Avastutvad Vikalpasya Bhavadvaitam Taduchyade Yad Brahmani Pare Sashal Sarvakarma Samarpanam Mano Vak Unipipartha Kriyadvaitam Taduchyade. Then he talks about Kriyadvaitam. What is Kriyadvaitam? Yad Brahmani Pare Sashal Sarvakarma Samarpanam. Sarvakarma Samarpanam. One able to offer everything to Krishna. Because understanding that Krishna is behind, Krishna is engaging me to do this particular service or work in this world, I am doing that on behalf of Krishna. If we develop that consciousness, that is called Kriyadvaidam. He says here, Kriyadvaidam Taduchyate. It is known as Kriyadvaidam. Then what is the next one? Almajaya Sudadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yal Swartha Kamayo Aikyam Drivyadvaidam Taduchyate. So Drivyadvaidam is when he Almajaya Sudadinam Anyesham, that my wife, children, property, everything is Krishna's. Nothing is mine. So you can see what takes us to this understanding of freeing. If Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam is practiced properly, you can come out of dualities, from the dualities of this life. That's the point Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there. To that. So here you will see the importance, whatever that has been spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. More practical explanations are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Practical explanations are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So once we decide that if everything is Krishna's, that is why all the Vedic mantras are idam na mama, it's not mine, it's not mine. Constantly declaring this. Every time the havis is offered to the sacrifice, every mantra finishes with this, idam na mama, it's not mine, it's not mine. Why? To get out of this me and mine consciousness inside. What the mantras are chanted in that way. So the principle is this, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, everything is Krishna's. To bring us to that understanding, it is Dravyadvaidam is practiced. So if we do that, Kartratvam Bhoktratvam will go. Doer and the enjoyership will leave us. Then Kriyadvaidam is to think that we are in Krishna's hands, just an instrument. And if you practice that, you will get released from karma. Karma vasana won't develop inside. Then thirdly, Bhavadvaidam, where Krishna says, in order that not to develop any attachment or aversion towards anyone, every living entity you see as Krishna is standing there in that dress. And if you see it like that, you won't feel that attachment and aversion to him. This is the same principle all the sages from time immemorial practiced this. And as I mentioned before, they brought some divinity to every object in this world, to the mountains, to the rivers, to the family members. And this is why in the Vedic civilization, so much stress is given to respect to the elders, respect to the children, respect to women. All this has come from that, from this philosophy. That by doing that, you are recognizing Krishna's presence in everybody. And that will help you in your spiritual growth. This was the only reason. So therefore, this system of... because you have to start somewhere. So first you have to start with your own family members. That relationship in that way. Not that everybody is equal. Father, mother, wife, sister, husband, everyone all on an equal platform. You don't think like that. You see a respectful relationship with everyone. And therefore, there was more peace at home. But now that's gone, so there's no peace either. So, you can see why these things are... If you look into the Upanishads, it says, Madhra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Aditi Devo Bhava. In everyone, see this divinity, Krishna's presence there. So, if you worship that, automatically, this consciousness will develop like that, in that way. That you will get free yourself from the ragam divisham. Attachment aversion will go away. Even at home. If you develop that relationship, then attachment and aversion will go. Otherwise, you will always have problems mutually. Difficulties will come from that. That's what Krishna is saying here. That if ragam divisham goes away, he says, the mind will become completely peaceful. Mind will become complete. That is the goal of all these things. It's not just for the sake of peace, for sake of peace. But the purpose is, if the mind is peaceful, the spiritual knowledge will manifest better in a person. Spiritual realizations will come much better, strongly. So, Krishna gave us everything in a tablet form. A tablet. We have to take this tablet all the time. These three tablets, Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. Krishna talks about that. Not one or two days, the whole life. This practice should continue. Not only not only as a, it's not like spiritual life, we think, we practice some meditation and a light appears, somewhere inside and feel satisfied about it. No, this is actually spiritual life. That in our daily life, our relationship with others and our dealings with the world, how that changes. That's more importance given to that. How to bring this attitude in life. The whole creation as Krishna's form and living for Krishna's sake and to see everything as Krishna's and to live accordingly in that way for Krishna's purpose. If that happens, that what will happen? The false ego will move away from inside. The false ego won't build up inside anymore. Aham krati, that will go away. Happiness, distress, profit, loss, success, failure, everything is Krishna's plan. And Krishna is saying to Arjuna, decide it in this way and be like an instrument rather than a false ego personified entity. Become more like an instrument. In other words, like a machine you act, he says to Arjuna, yudhyaya jasva. Then you won't be affected by any sinful reaction. Whereas if you act with false ego and make your own decisions, then you have to bear the results also. Because this is where spiritual knowledge comes in. Spiritual knowledge's effect is like this. That you accept the authority what Krishna has spoken and completely put faith in that, in Krishna's words, and to change our life in that way. If we do that, Krishna says, no sinful reaction from that. Whatever you do in this world. And as I mentioned yesterday, the best example, Krishna himself, how he acted in this world. Krishna is not teaching us, leave everything, go to the Himalayas and live in the cave and practice spiritual life. No, spiritual life, while living in this world, how to change our life. While completely absorbed in the life in this world, living as a family person or a brahmachari or grahastha, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Krishna's point is, even while living in this world, how one could become spiritually advanced in that way. So, if you do that, Krishna says, there will be no after effect or reaction from that. In other words, that equal vision, samadarshitvam, samadarshi, Krishna gives us another word there, samadarshitvam, will come later. Pandita samadarshina, he says, isn't it? Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Jaiva Shubhageja Pandita Samadarshina. Samadarshina means one who has got equal vision. So this is another word Krishna uses. They're all same, but different terminologies he has used. Samadarshi means one who has got equal vision. So one who has moved away from dvandvam, from duality, he will samadarshi. He is samadarshi automatically. Equal vision he has, isn't it? He has an equal vision then. He sees everything, labham, profit, loss, success, failure, and somebody respects him or insults him, tadha manava manayo. So, jayam, success, failure, in all these conditions, if he is steady, Krishna says he is samadarshi, equal vision. And later on he says, vidya vinaya sampanne, one who has educated, Krishna calls him educated. Not all the ones who has collected all the degrees from all the unis. He is not educated as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna is concerned, the educated person's quality is this, vidya vinaya sampanne. That first thing, that knowledge has made him to become humble in life. And imagine Krishna uses this word, vidya vinaya sampanne. Vinaya sampanne means great humility inside. Seeing that whole creation is Krishna's property. Seeing that the whole creation is Krishna's manifestation. Seeing that all that, I am also a part of that creation, my duty is to serve according to Krishna's desire. I am also controlled by Krishna equally. When this realization comes, naturally you become humble and humility develops inside. And that is what Krishna is referring to, vidya vinaya sampanne. And what is that? What happens? Brahmane gavi hastini. Brahmana, the learned Brahmana and cow, elephant, shuni jeva shavagecha, the dog eater, they are all equal. Because in all of them, he is only seeing the soul, not the body. He is not discriminating in the name of the body. So that is higher realization. And such a person, Krishna says, samadarshi. His vision is very equal. So this will only happen if you see a dog and a dog eater and a Brahmana, learned Brahmana. If you start thinking in terms of the body, there will be problem. Because you won't be able to develop that freedom from duality. You will be affected by the dualities. But all those times, you have to see it is Krishna's another form standing there in front of us. If he is a Brahmana also, whether it is a dog or a dog eater, it's Krishna's another form standing there. So these are things spoken, how to free oneself from dualities, in other words, and come to this platform of equal vision, samadarshitvam, what Krishna is referring to. So far, saying this, Krishna is closing the Sanghyam. Now, all this thing we have discussed now, from verse 10 onwards in the second chapter, right up to this point, is known as Sanghyam. Sanghyam is Kapila Maharshi's exposition. The way we study Bhagavad Gita is that, as I mentioned before, that Krishna has accepted from different sages different conclusions. What is in line with the Vedic tradition, which means Krishna's tradition, Krishna has accepted from all the sages. And from Kapila Maharshi's Sanghyam, this part Krishna has accepted. This Sankhya philosophy, what we have discussed so far. It's the same thing what Jnanis also follow. Jnanis take this Sanghyam and they work on that basis. What is Sanghyam? Sanghyam is this, nothing but the analysis of the world. Prakriti and Purusha. Material nature and the controller, Supreme Personality behind it. Then body and the soul, separately, two things. And also we understand the living force inside, due to the presence of which the body, matter, everything functions, isn't it? So there are two things here. One is the living force and then the dead matter. Then we have got the body and the soul, isn't it? So it's due to the presence of the living force, the body functions. Because of the presence of the soul, the body is functioning, isn't it? Similarly, material nature exists, but there is a presence of Krishna in the material nature as the living force there. All these things, what we have heard so far from Bhagavad Gita, is all in the platform of intelligence. Isn't it? Krishna has convinced us on intellectual platform that we were told this is how it is. Use this logic in your own way and try to understand this. That's what Krishna has told us. So it all stays in the intellectual platform. But that's not enough, isn't it? If it just stays in the intellectual level, it's not sufficient. How to bring that into our practical life? This is the discussion which starts from now. So, otherwise, what is the profit if it simply remains on an intellectual platform, if it has not come into daily life or into our practical realization? If that has not happened, what is the profit? What has been spoken till now is known as Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means the knowledge of the soul, the truth, absolute truth. So that's why you will see, not mentioned in our Bhagavad Gita, in the old Bhagavad Gitas you will see Idi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishalsu Brahmavidyayam. It's a Brahmavidya that is discussed in the Upanishalsu in Bhagavad Gita. Gita Upanishad, what is discussed is Brahmavidya. Yoga Shastra, it is a Yoga Shastram also. What else? Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, it is in the form of Krishna and Arjuna's discussions. This you will find in all the old Bhagavad Gitas. If you buy, you will see at the end mentioned like this, each chapter. Idi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishalsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastra Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Pratamodhyaya Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama Pratamodhyaya Samaptaha. And this finished, the first chapter. Like this you will see there in the old Bhagavad Gitas. In English Bhagavad Gitas you don't find that mentioned anywhere. But it is there. So Krishna is saying that it's all Brahmavidya. Now from now on, what Krishna is going to talk about is Yogam, Yoga Shastram. Brahmavidya he has spoken, the knowledge he has spoken on an intellectual level for us to understand. And if our mind and intelligence is sharp, and so far whatever Krishna has spoken should make us realize the existence of the soul and our identity with the soul, even if it's not in realization, at least on an intellectual platform, we should be able to accept it without any more doubts about that. So that is the main thing, that this second chapter up to this point, whatever Krishna has spoken is to clarify to us that all our understanding about the body and the soul were wrong. The correct understanding is like this. He has explained that to us so far, isn't it? Dead matter, body is a dead matter. So in order to get that, Krishna says Brahmavidya is necessary for this knowledge. Brahmavidya is necessary. And after it is cleared, we should be very clear in our own mind that body is different, soul is different. Body is dead matter, and I am soul, I am spirit, I am not the dead matter. This understanding should come. Body has got different parts. The body has got different parts in the body, hands, legs and head and all kinds of things in the body. But actually for me, there is no parts. I am one thing, that is the soul, isn't it? And body is always changing. Body is always changing. Mind is always moving. Mind is always moving. But behind this, I have this, my identities, I am consciousness, standing behind everything. That is me, not this mind, not this body. So when we start separating it out like this, Krishna has shown it to us, to separate everything like this all the time. If knowing very well like this, if you engage in karma mandalam, that means if you engage in your activities in this world, Krishna is talking about that from now on. From now on, Krishna is saying to us to know all these things and then how to engage in the activities of this world. Normally, you will notice in this world, some people are very matured. Matured in the sense that they are matured for spiritual life. Spiritual life. Matured for spiritual life. They are qualified for sannyasam. For sannyas ashram, they are ready for it. They are qualified for that. But when Krishna is saying this, just immediately don't bring the picture of a modern sannyasi with dandam and saffron clothes. We should not get into this dress, into our head, people's dress, and start thinking that is a sannyasi, this is a brahmachari, this is a grahastha, like that. Krishna is only speaking from the level of knowledge, purely knowledge. That's what matters to Krishna. How much it is there in realization, that's what matters to him. He says here, what is sannyasam? Sannyasam is not wearing saffron, not vastram, not mundanam, not shaving up the head. Sannyasam nirmalam jnanam, na kashayam na cha mundanam, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Knowledge and realization is the symptom of sannyasi. Knowledge and realization is symptom of sannyasi. You will notice this was strictly followed for a very, very long time in the history. If you look even to Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while talking to Vallabhacharya, Vallabhabhatta, he mentions this, that sannyasi's quality, first quality, jnanam, if there is proper jnanam inside, there will be very strong renunciation inside the person. That is a symptom. Jnanam will be followed by vairagyam. If these two things are not there, Mahaprabhu doesn't recognize it as a sannyasi. It doesn't consider him as a sannyasi. In the modern world, you can see what all goes on in the name of sannyasam. So, nadu vastram, nadu mundanam, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. That is the definition. That not the dress, they specifically say this because they knew at some time or the other in the later time, people will start taking the dress as the sannyasi, and the one who has completely shaved up as a sannyasi, or one who is wearing danda as a sannyasi. But in order to avoid that misunderstanding in us, there itself, it has been spoken and kept ready for us to read it, so that we don't get misguided. So, sannyasam, nirmalam jnanam, na kashayam, na cha mundanam, jnanam, sannyasa lakshanam. That atma sashalkaram, or self-realization, is sannyasi. Sannyasi stage is like that, so be self-realized. That for them, there is no karma. All karma, they are finished with the karma. Even if they don't do anything, there is no harm. Because they are situated in that consciousness, knowledge realized state, they will not be they will not incur any sinful reaction from that. So, to give an example, that whether one has reached that state or not. In one family, there was a man, his wife, and the wife's brother, that means his brother-in-law. He was a younger brother, younger to his wife. They were living together. The husband, the wife, and the wife's younger brother. They were all living together. So this younger brother used to go and hear about different places to listen to some spiritual topics. And somehow or the other, he heard many things in many places. And then he came home and told his sister, that is his wife, that I'm going to take sannyas, he said. I'm going to take sannyas, he said. So he kept telling this, and the wife felt, that means his sister, felt very sorry that, oh, he's going to become a sannyasi. Why should he become a sannyasi? Naturally, an affection for the brother. So what she advised him, not to get into sannyasa ashram now, hold on for some time, get married and live a life, and then later on you can take sannyasam. So the young man says, no, I'm fully convinced that I'm a sannyasi material. Because he was seeing the externalities of the thing, not fully understanding the implications of sannyasam. So she advised him, she tried to give him a lot of instructions, not to take sannyasam and live a family life, get into family life, like every family person says this, isn't it? So even after advising him many times, he won't listen. He kept on threatening her, saying that I'm going to take sannyas next month, I'm organizing everything this time. So what she did, she went and told her husband that, look, I've told him enough, but he's not listening. He's going to take sannyasam. You talk to him now. She started, telling her husband to tell him that. So your husband said, no, he won't take sannyasam. Don't worry about it, he said. Well, husband knew better. So she says, she kept on pushing. And he kept on resisting to advise him. And he says, he won't take sannyasam. Don't worry about it. Nothing is going to happen. She won't listen. She kept pushing. And eventually the last thing she did was, she told him, it is very clear now that you have no affection for me or for him either. she started speaking in that way. So when she said like that, he says, I told you he won't take sannyasam. Then she got so angry with him. She says, and then how will you take sannyasam? How does anyone take sannyasam? So this man, what he did, this is how I'll take sannyas. He took the cloth and put it on his shoulder and walked out of the house. He said, if one somebody is taking sannyas, he will take it. He won't keep talking about it. This talking is not going to help. He says, the fact that he has been talking to you for months together about this is clear to me that he's not going to take sannyasam. Whereas somebody takes sannyasam, it will be like this. He will just walk out of the house. He won't turn back again and look at the family life anymore. So the thing is, Krishna says here that one who becomes a sannyasi will be like that. He won't keep talking about it. He'll just do it. Then, because if the person has a destiny to become a sannyasi like that, he will become a sannyasi. It doesn't have to be discussed so much. There is a story about that in the what I know I am saying about that. There is a famous sannyasi who come from a very, very wealthy family. Very wealthy he was. He was so wealthy that he had no issues. A family man. He had no issues. And that person, he, after living in the family for many years, he performed a lot of charity with all the wealth he had. But his attachment to the wealth was also very strong. The only concern he had in his life was he had no children. That was his, he was thinking, all this wealth I have made, what is it going to happen to all this wealth? So this was his main problem. So at that point he was a devotee of Kartikeya Subramanyam. Subramanya decided to come as his son, took birth as his son. And this son, when was born, he lived at home till the age of 16. Subramanya lived in his house till the age of 16. Later on, what happened was that the father wanted the son also to engage in business, like he did, to make money. Isn't it? Because this making money is a big problem. Once it starts inside, it never leaves you. That's why you'll see big businessmen, they find it very hard to retire, isn't it? Even after 70, 75, they'll hang around somewhere to do some business, to make money. Because it becomes very much a part of you. So he wanted his son to take over the business and run the business like that. Son was not interested. Son has come with a specific purpose to teach the father something in life more valuable than all these things. So when the son was allowed to do business, he handed over the business to him to do the business. The son was not at all interested in making money. So one day when he came back from his business premises, he brought back with him a bag full of this, you know, this cow dung they make, this round circle-like thing which they use for burning in the kitchen. So he collected a lot of that, put it in a bag and brought back. So the father was asking him, how did the business go today? I think they were engaged in this clothes business and all that. So the son says, I brought back the profit, here is the profit, he says, and hands over this to him, to the father. Father got so upset with him when he opened up and saw in the bag what it was. Father got so upset with him, he abused him very heavily for being indifferent and irresponsible and all that. That's the vanity in the father's mind here. So what did the son do? Son wrote one letter and put it in a small box with one needle which didn't have even the, you know, the head of the needle where you put the thread through. Even that was broken. So this needle and the letter, he packed it nicely and handed over to his mother and told the mother that I'm going away. Give this to the father when you find a proper time. You can talk, hand over this parcel to him and tell him that I've gone. So mother was a bit upset, and saying the son left, which was Subramanya, he left home. After he left home, the mother gave the father the parcel and handed over to him. Father opened the parcel, in that the son has written, this broken needle, what you have got, even this you cannot take it with you when you go from here, from this world. What point is this you are doing? What are you doing this for? Whole life accumulating this wealth like this. And the son was gone. Father got the shock of his life, what the son has spoken. Then and there, he left the whole thing there. Everything he left there, walked out of the house, the father. And what did the father do? Father took a begging bowl. And just when dhoti on, he went and sat in the Chidambaram temple in one of the four entrance towers. He was sitting there. He just got four major towers on the four directions. In one of the towers, he was sitting there. So he sat there and he was begging for food. He didn't bother. So while leaving, his manager asked him what am I going to do with all these assets and everything. He said, do what you like, he said. And he left, walked out from there. And when he was sitting there, the king used to travel through that street every day while going to the temple. So the king was passing through, and the king's minister also in the same carriage saw this person sitting there. So the king asked him, the minister, is he not the person who comes and sees me often and pays his taxes and brings a lot of presents and everything? Why is he sitting here like this, he said. So the minister went up to him and asked him what happened. He didn't even get up from there when he saw the king coming. King comes up to him and asks him, what has happened to you? Why are you like this? What's the benefit in doing this? He says, benefit is this. Till now, I used to come and see you, bring all the presents and the taxes, everything. And you used to sit there and I used to stand up in front of you. Now I am sitting here and you are standing up there. That's the prophet, he says. That, in other words, what he is saying is that one who has got assets and wealth and all kinds of things in this world, it's only but a burden at the end. That burden is like this. He says here that the peace inside is gone. There is no peace inside for a person who has God. So what will happen is such a person that he will never be satisfied in life. He'll never be satisfied in life. One who has nothing in the hand, one who is free from all these encumbrances or whatever the bondage in this world, who is free from everything, he is rich. Because he has got the peace inside. Not the one who has got everything One has got everything. And he says to him, these expectations and ambitions inside, if you lose that, you are a king. You are an emperor. That one who haven't got that. But one who has got a lot of desires and lot of ambitions inside is a beggar. He is a beggar. That any great personality, let him be, but inside he is a beggar. But if that thing goes away from him, he is an emperor. That then he can deal with this world without any disturbances. Most of the time we get disturbed. Why? Because we think we have got something, isn't it, with us. Therefore we are trying to protect it, and in that process we feel disturbed over it, and then we will not any time think it is not ours, isn't it? It's Krishna's property. That consciousness is not deep inside. So, and that is something very difficult to come to that point easily, especially in householder life. It's very, very hard. But Krishna is saying that if you can give it up, that connections with the world, then he is an emperor. Then he can handle this world very easily. All the Mahatmas have shown us this, that because they didn't have any assets, they didn't have anything in this world to say at their own, when they dealt with the world, they didn't have any difficulty. Whereas for us, when we deal with the world, we have to look after our personal interest first, isn't it? Personal interest is there very much. Our property, our wealth, our assets, whatever that is we consider as important as ours, that does come into the equation when we make any decisions in this world. King Janaka's example we mentioned before, how Janaka Maharaj in Mithila, how he dealt with the world because of this deep realization, self-realized soul. When he is administering, when he is running the country, what his relationship was with the world. Great, great personalities like Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Ashtavakra Maharshi, and many great personalities to come and see him, including Sudev Goswami. How in the middle of all the luxuries and opulences of the palace, he was a realized soul. He did live his life in that way. Sudev Goswami gives a special credit for this to Janaka Maharaj, to King Janaka, for this reason only. That a realized soul is running the administration of a country and completely detached from everything. Imagine that situation. Right in the middle of the palace with all the facilities and big responsibility. And in spite of all that, he stayed in that realized state all the time, unaffected by anything in this world. Unaffected by anything in this world. Throughout Yoga Vasishtam and literatures like that, you will find King Janaka is glorified for this. Why did all this happen? Because Sudev Goswami says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while discussing Ramayanam, he says there, Sita Devi appeared in that family. Because of appearance of Sita Devi, all those who appeared in that family were all self-realized souls, and at the same time they were all grahasthas. They were all grahasthas and they were all self-realized souls as well at the same time. So self-realization is not exclusively for only a sannyasi or a brahmachari, for anyone, one who has developed all these qualities. That is the most important thing to learn from there. Then, always conscious of the soul which is present inside. And if we also, the thing is that we are dependent. This is what is bringing the misery to us. So long as we are dependent on anything in this world, it means distress will come from that. Anything, doesn't matter. Other people, our properties, or the job, or anything. If that dependency comes inside, then you have to suffer. Then you have to suffer. So totally independent, that should be the nature from independence in the sense, not that you disturb others, but you have to be independent, not to be dependent on anyone. Not be dependent for anyone. To think that others are not giving me the pleasure. Pleasure is inside, or the happiness is inside, not from other objects. And that realization, that those who have able to do that, they are known as Sankhyas. This Sankhya philosophy is bringing this point, because he is who was completely freed from dependence on others, he is completely independent. But this cannot be done by everybody. This knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, cannot be done by everybody. But their jnanam, knowledge is complete, is perfect. That they don't have to depend on the karmam anymore. They don't have to depend on the karmam anymore. They are freed from that. So for them, sannyasam is fine. Who has become so completely free from all attachments, and at the same time, they are not dependent on anyone. And the knowledge is very strong inside. As we discussed before, that realization is there inside. And such a person, for him, sannyasa ashram, his knowledge is complete, so therefore he can move on to sannyasam. He is not bound by karmam anymore. Even if he does not engage in any karmam, it will not cause any sinful reaction from that. That is the point Krishna is making there. So, it is a point in the Bhagavad Gita where if you look into Prabhupada's commentary also, Prabhupada says there the chapter finishes or something he mentions there, isn't it? In one of those verses. So, he says the chapter finishes here, he says. If you look into the purport from here. In the next verse, text 39, Krishna says here, thus far I have declared to you the analytical knowledge of Sangha philosophy. Analytical knowledge of Sangha philosophy. Yeah. So, from here onwards, up to this point, what Krishna has spoken is Sankhya. So, you have seen what Sankhya means now, isn't it? Differentiating between matter and spirit, body and the soul, and Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti is activated by Purusha, therefore, it is Chaitanyam is there, it is working. All this knowledge has come to a person, and he is situated in that consciousness, in that understanding, and because of the realization, he is qualified to become a sannyasi. If he wants to take sannyasam, he is allowed. And he also does not have to execute karmam anymore. He is free from karmam. That is the point where he finishes. Now the question comes, what about us? We are not worried about those who have gone away and taken sannyasam. We are worried about ourselves, what will happen to us, isn't it? So that's why, particularly two categories. One, the kshatriyas, who have to run the kingdom. And the other one, grahasthas, who have to live family life. These two categories, Krishna is saying here, they cannot throw away everything and walk out easily. They cannot throw it away and walk away from the household life. Sannyasam was never given to people who did not have these realizations in the past, I'm saying. It was never given. And the qualification for sannyasam is this realization of this what Krishna has spoken. And only when one reaches that state, he will take sannyasam. Otherwise, he won't take sannyasam, first of all. If he hasn't got that inside. This realization of what Krishna has spoken so far in the Sankhya philosophy, jnanam. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. That knowledge is sannyasa lakshanam, the symptom of sannyasam. So, everybody will not be naturally in that category, isn't it? Majority of the people will be either a householder, which you can see in this world, almost 80-90% are householders. There's not everyone a sannyasi here, isn't it, in this world. So we are more concerned about the majority, not about 1% or 2% sannyasis. So what does that mean now? That what does a householder should do? in these situations. That's what we're going to discuss from now on. If they give up everything and take sannyasam, is that possible? That's not possible. That means he will create chaos in the society. Householder who has got children, he leaves them all and goes away. What will happen? The children will be left into serious problems, isn't it? That means you're actually disturbing the society with your spiritual life, not helping the society. So that is not the answer to the problem. So while living in the world means that they have to execute karma. They have no choice to go away from the karma. And karma is not something which you can avoid. Karma cannot be avoided either. Why? Because you have got into karma now. Karma chakram has started. The wheel of karma has started rotating. Isn't it? Evam pravartitam chakram nanuvatta yadi haya. Krishna says in the third chapter, that chakram has started for all of us. For all those who are in the householder life, this chakram, the wheel has started rotating. Then, while the wheel is rotating, in the middle, you can't say that I'm jumping out. You cannot get out of it. You know that giant wheel in the Alton Towers and all that? Once you got into one of those, till the man stops it, you have no choice, right? When it gets to the top, you get frightened, I'm jumping out from there. That won't work, would it? That's not possible. So, karma chakram is like that. The wheel has started rotating. You have got into the one of the boxes. You are there. So, before you jump out, Krishna is saying there that at least you have understood now the situation, where you are now. You know where you are. He says here that till that comes into experience. For example, like the sannyasis have realized that I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. That you also understood probably on theoretical level, but how to bring that into our harem, into our dealings. That is first thing. How to bring that into our daily life. That is one problem. Is how to bring this knowledge, what we have understood from Bhagavad Gita, into our life. That's one problem. Second problem is that while engaging in activities in this world, how it will not generate new vasanas inside. Because I had previous vasanas inside, karma vasana was there, that has developed into prarabdham and got through this body. And I'm brought into this karma mandalam. I've been brought into the world of karma, in other words. So, theoretical knowledge is there, but I'm not able to bring that theoretical knowledge into my practical life. In practical life, what are the two obstacles? One is this, that I have to make sure that new vasanas at least I don't create, karma vasanas inside, number one. Number two, you also want to know that that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer has to leave me. That consciousness should leave me. That if if this thing happens in a person, then the nature of karma, what he is executing, also will change. The karma, the nature of the karma. In other words, his relationship with the karma, what he is executing, will change. When he knows, I don't want to create any more vasanas inside, karma vasana. Secondly, I want to get free myself from this doer-enjoyer business. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer business. If this is established, if this things are in the mind, in the back of the mind, then his relationship with the karma will change. That's the point Krishna is going to make later. And that most of the people in this world, when they act, when executing karma, most of the people in this world, they will think, what do I get from this? Isn't it? By doing this. This is how we start all the karma. Any little karma when we do, what am I gaining from this? That is the normal approach. But when a person who is engaged in spiritual life, when he engages in spiritual life and he executes his karma, he executes his understanding is, I'm not doing this to get anything out of it. On the other hand, I'm trying to get rid of something from me. Therefore, I'm doing it. The karma. So you see, the attitude is more important than the work you are doing. It is the attitude that makes the change in the karma. It is not the karma what we do is the problem. It's the bandhanam or the bondage, karma vasana what it creates is the problem. So the difference between an ordinary person and a devotee or a yogi or one who is practicing bhakti yogam or jnana yogam doesn't matter. Bhakti or jnanam doesn't matter. Karma is his first obstacle in life. So how he approaches karma is the thing that differentiates between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee thinks with all the results he wants from that. He wants the results from that to come. And he accepts all the results from the karma. All the results, he accepts it. He wants it. And with that desire, he is working. Non-devotee. A devotee works, I am doing this karma to free myself from my vasanas, karma vasanas. And I don't want to accept any results from the karma what I am executing. That way I will get purified inside, my vasanas will leave me. This is the reason why when one comes to Bhakti Yogam process, he should be very clear in himself. He may be doing different things in this world. It does not matter what he does. But whatever activity he is performing should be done in this understanding. Clearly. And he should act on that basis. Otherwise, purification won't happen inside. Karmam is, as I mentioned before, karmam is only a problem what we have created. And it is a very, so many times said, that after Krishna, which is the most powerful thing in this world, it is this karma. Isn't it? That is binding us in this world. And if it's not used properly and handled properly, we will get stuck with that. So there is a subtle level, big difference between a non-devotee and a devotee, how he executes his life in this world. A non-devotee is always expecting results from his activities. A non-devotee takes the results from his activities and live on that. Non-devotee does that. He accepts the results of his actions and all those results he enjoys them. That is a non-devotee's approach. A devotee's approach is everything is Krishna's. I am working for Krishna. It's all for Krishna I am doing this, not for me. First thing. And secondly, when the results are coming, because in material life when you are doing so many things, so many results will come from that. Results are offered to Krishna. That way, the karma vasana goes away from inside. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will also leave you. But if you don't do that, this will become bigger and bigger inside and false ego will go inside stronger. It will never leave you. Hundreds of years you can work, but nothing. As a devotee, you can say to everybody, I am a devotee, but you will never be a devotee. You are not a devotee. A devotee's qualifications, Krishna is saying here. This is the fundamental thing. That you have to accept this. That karma vasana has to go from inside. We all come with big karma vasana inside. So you have taken to Krishna consciousness with this understanding, I want to purify first myself, free from the karma vasanas. And Krishna has given us the remedy here, the process of karma yogam is coming from that. That the little by little offer everything to Krishna. It is Krishna's. It's Krishna's all the time. And in that way, if you do it, everything, Shastram is pointing out only one thing. Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, we spoke before. It all means this, that it is for Krishna's everything is done. Profit also, loss also, it's all Krishna's. Who is doing it? Krishna is doing it. Through me, it is being done. That's all it is. So in the case of nobody can give up karma, because karma is a part of us. Unless you are a sannyasi who has above all these things. So, whatever karma is doing, it becomes a worship. It becomes a worship. Krishna gave a title for this and that is called Buddhi Yogam. Later on you will see this word, Buddhi Yogam. That Buddhi Yogam is this. This using your intelligence in this way, that when this Buddhi Yogam develops in a person and it becomes matured very much, it become akarmam. He will get released from karma. In other words, one who has known what is to be known. Whatever he does at that point, that he is never affected by this. He doesn't have the attitude, I am doing this, nor he is expecting any, whatever he does, his attitude is, I am not doing this, I am being used by Krishna. In other words, and that attitude is perfect in him. And if this if this knowledge, if this mood, if this mode is complete inside, then he is perfect. Once it goes away from him, and if he approaches the work with this attitude, work will be carried out all the time without any difficulty. And also what will happen? He also knows that whether he is present or not, things will be done in this world. He does not give importance that I am the, it is only because of me everything is working in this world. He will be free from that concept also. All the, if you look into all the great persons, Mahatmas, you will see this nature in them, that they have never identified with any results what's coming from the from their work. They are not getting too absorbed in the what goes on in this world. They keep doing things as like Krishna has trained them to do. So it is up to that point, Krishna is bringing up to this point. So these topics are, this topic finishes here, and now we are starting that new topic in the next verse, 39. How to bring things into your practical life, that's what Krishna is going to start from now on. Esha tebihida sankhye buddhir yogetam umam shrunum buddhya yuktoyaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi esha tebihida sankhye buddhir yogetam umam shrunum buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Translation: thus far I have declared to you the analytical knowledge of Sankhya philosophy. Now listen to the knowledge of yoga, whereby one works without fruitive result. O son of Partha, when you act by such intelligence, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. From the bondage of works. From the bondage of work. Yesha tebhida sanghe buddhi yoga timam shrunu buddhya yukto eya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Karma bandham prahasyasi. So, from now on, there is a switch from Sankhyam to Yogam. From Sankhyam to Yogam. So far, whatever we have discussed is Sankhya philosophy, and it is the most important part for the spiritual realization, the knowledge what is required in our life to conduct our business. So, unless there is knowledge, activity has no meaning. Doing things without any understanding is ignorance. But with proper knowledge, how one comes to that understanding, that's what Krishna is going to speak from now on. And Krishna says here, if you look into verse 30, have you noticed there that is something interesting to note? Verse 30 in second chapter. Dehi nityam avadhyoyam dehe sarvasya bharada tasmal sarvani bhudani natvam shochitum arhasi. Verse 30. Did you see verse 30? Yeah. See the purport, what Prabhupada says there? The Lord now concludes the chapter of instructions on the immutable spirit soul. Chapter is not finished yet. Prabhupada is saying here, the Lord now concludes this chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit. So in other words, whatever Krishna has spoken till now is something which should be taken very seriously. In other words, that when he said this chapter was contents of Bhagavad Gita summarized, his chapter started like that, isn't it? But now, right in the middle, at the age of 30, Krishna is saying that Lord now concludes the chapter of instructions on the immutable spirit soul. Why is it concludes there? Because so far what he has spoken from verse 10 particularly, that Ashochan and Nishochastram, up to this verse, it is very cream of the whole thing. The cream of the message is that this is the benchmark. This is the goal where we want to be. We are here and we want to be there, like they say, isn't it? You are here now, we want to be there. The business people talk like that. That our target is that we are here today. We want to get there. You see. Yeah. They fire up people like that, saying this. So Krishna is also doing the same thing. Up to now, whatever Krishna has spoken, that is the where we want to be. And we are now where we are. So, no, you can notice all these things in the purports, in Prabhupada's purports, you will see. But sometimes we read this and this is why the chapter is not finished. He's saying the chapter is over. If you read like that, you'll get, caught up. But you have to see the background in which Krishna, Prabhupada has spoken these things. And so many things, if you read the purport, you will take note of it. But when you read first time, you may not get into that, even you are trying to understand what Krishna is saying. But after hearing classes and all, you get a little bit deeper understanding. You should read the purport. And once you read the purport, you will see a lot of these things make sense. Initially, when you read, you don't make sense to anybody. It's always like that. But when you keep hearing all the time, and then you keep reading the purports, it will make a lot of sense. That you can see the limitations while writing a book. The limitations. You can't put to such an extent. Even Prabhupada's purports are generally big compared to other. If you take to Shankaracharya's purports and all, it's only a few lines. You are expected to understand everything on your own otherwise. Prabhupada has given so much expanded purports to make it a little bit more easier for us to understand. But even then, I'm saying the difficulty of reading and understanding as then. But once you hear a lot and it becomes a little bit more easier, then if you read the purports, it will give you a lot of definite understanding. Its depth will get better. So, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, we are saying about this, Krishna talks about pure knowledge, that's what he has spoken. Sankhya is nothing but pure knowledge. Jnani's process is Sankhya. So, because of this, what is going to be spoken from now, because it's about Karma Yoga. It is about Karma Yoga. And that's what's going to start from now on. So as I mentioned yesterday, some great personalities who read Bhagavad Gita, they saw from now on this part as important. What's coming from now on, Karma Yoga, and the subsequent chapters from now, 3rd, 4th, 5th, up to 6th chapter, Krishna is stressing about karma. Stressing about karma and discusses in depth about karma. Right? Because of that, some great souls, like I mentioned Tilak, Mahatmaji, Mahatma Gandhi and all that, they said Bhagavad Gita's conclusion is Karma Yoga. They came to this conclusion. That is why in their life, they engaged in Karma Yoga. That is why they were able to perform such wonderful acts in this world. Isn't it? They were able to, Mahatma Gandhi's life, everybody knows how he lived and how he dealt with the power he was fighting against. They could not understand where this young man is getting so much strength from. British didn't know that, where the strength was coming from. They didn't know about Bhagavad Gita. The whole strength was coming from Bhagavad Gita to Gandhiji. But they didn't know about it. But they know he's a very unusual person who is fighting with us in this way, and they don't know what to do with him. To that situation came. Similarly, all the other big leaders who were present at that time, like Gopal Krishna Gokhale, Bal Gangadhar Tilak, Madan Mohan Malaviya, there were so many, a series of personalities who worked at that time for independence. You can imagine, after 1500, 2000 years under the control of the foreign powers, to bring a country out of it was not an easy thing. And they had to, and somehow the other Krishna's arrangement, so many great personalities appeared at that time, and who all had, the engine was this. Bhagavad Gita was the power behind it. Even if you look at personalists, impersonalists, doesn't matter. all the great personalities who appeared at that time, like Vivekananda and so many others, who all had this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita very sound inside them. And therefore, the power inside was very strong, that they were able to move the whole country along with that. And that's what eventually ended up in the freedom. Whether it's good or bad, that's another thing. But whatever has happened in this world, you can't do anything. But how things work in this world, it's interesting to observe those things. So, Mahalmaji and others, Balanganath Tilak and all the leaders then, they stressed on that Karma Yogam side. But, even though they have done that, Shastram is not for karma. That also we have to understand. The intention of all Shastram is only one thing. What is that? To give knowledge. To release us from this illusion what we are in. From the point of view when Krishna is speaking, or Vedavyasa Maharshi is bringing Bhagavad Gita to us, their problem is not whether India is independent or India is not independent. That's not their concern. They are not bothered about all those things. That is material nature working in this world in its own. What they are giving us is that knowledge by which we don't have to accept another body again and come to this world, which is on a much higher level. You can see that. That any Shastram has only one goal, that is to give knowledge, jnanam. Jnanam to a person. Karmam and entangling in karmam, this cannot be the goal of Shastram. This is the conclusion of the Acharyas. They are seeing from a much higher platform. They are thinking about the whole world. They are not only simply thinking in terms of India's independence or whether it is independent or not independent, it doesn't matter. As far as they are concerned, you got a human body, use the human life to get out of this material existence. That is how they see the life. You see? Who controls the government? Who runs the government? Who is fighting against whom? These things are not at all an issue for them. For them, the issue is our ultimate benefit. For them, the problem is only solved when you have got self-realized and released yourself from the material existence. That is the solution to all the problems, as far as the Acharyas are concerned. So therefore, for them, Shastram is nothing but knowledge. How to the science by which you can escape from material life, material existence. That is what they stress upon. That's what they stress upon. So, Acharya says Bhagavad Gita is meant for that and takes us into a much higher platform. Goal is knowledge. Goal is knowledge. Because karmam is an obstacle in acquiring knowledge, karmam is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. That is their point of view. The political leaders, they had the attitude thus, Karma Yogam is important, that is what Bhagavad Gita is talking about. The Acharya's point of view is, no, it is not like that. Because karmam is an obstacle in your progress in spiritual life, therefore karmam is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita at depth. Then how to free yourself, and because karmam is standing there as a block in your spiritual progress, how to remove all the karma vasanas from inside, and how to get that pure knowledge, pure consciousness, freed from all bindings, that is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. This is the conclusion of all the Acharyas. Whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, they all are working on this platform of knowledge. So, it is, this is known as, Krishna calls this state as Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmi Sthiti means the realized state. Again, different words, Brahmi Sthiti it's called. Brahmi Sthiti means one who is in the Brahman state, Brahman realization. Brahmi Sthiti he calls it. Because for every jiva, for every conditioned soul, karmam is his first block in life. In other words, his karma vasanas are a blockage, isn't it? Inside. Karma vasanas are there in a person. And all the Vedic injunctions, if you look into Vedas also, particularly Yajurvedam and in Rigvedam also, many of the Vedic hymns are meant for performing sacrifices. So strictly speaking, in Vedas, there are two parts. One is the jnanam, other one is karma, isn't it? Jnanakandam, Karmakandam, two things. Majority of the Veda covers to Karmakandam. Majority of the Vedas refers to Karmakandam. Jnanakandam is only the Upanishads at the end. It is a Jnanakandam. So this Karmakandam has been given importance in the Vedas also. Why is it given importance? Because Krishna will talk about this in the Ekadasha Skandam very much. Vedai sarvani karmani abhala paradaya varnidani idi budhva tani toy arpidani sahi samanjaran samanujaran yani naishkarmyam ishe. Vedai sarvani karmani, all the karma what is discussed in the Vedas, abhala paradaya, if you execute them without expectation in yourselves, Veda says idi budhva tani toy arpidani, that all the karma, if you execute in this understanding, offering the results to Krishna, anujaran yani naishkarmyam ishe, if you do it like that, what will happen? You will become a naishkarmi. Krishna will talk about that also in the Bhagavad Gita. Naishkarmi siddhi, it is called. How you execute karma nishkamam, without any expectation of any results. Nishkama buddhi, intelligence without expectation of any results from any karma. That is called nishkama buddhi, nishkama karma. How that consciousness will come to a person? It is not easy. It takes a lot of practices and proper understanding of the Krishna's instructions. So, tavani tvayarpidani evahi samanujaran yani naishkarmyam ishe, it will result in naishkarmyam. Krishna, it is mentioned in the Bhagavadam about this, that Ekadasha Skandam talks like that. Sarvani karmani, all karma, abhala varadaya, without expectation of any results. So we must not think, when we take to spiritual life, oh, I am a devotee, now I can live at the cost of others. That is a wrong understanding. That somehow has crept into our mind because of the lack of proper understanding of spiritual life. I can live at the cost of others. No, that understanding will lead into hell because you are completely flouting Krishna's instructions. Totally. Because the understanding is poor. Yani naishkarmami ishe, that abhalavaradaya, that without expectation of any results, that's the most important thing. Ma budhver dver nishidher, suppose it happens. All the karma you are doing, what is described in the Vedic injunctions, Vedic Vaidya karma, which is mentioned in the Vedas. If you do that with this understanding, it will lead eventually into what? Naishkarmyam. You will be free from the effect of the karma. Right? Ma budhver dver nishidher kuhajit abhimana karma vajam pravartim. Now, instead, sometimes you have to do certain things in this world which are not purely based on the Vedic injunctions. It can happen in life, isn't it? Because everything what we do, we are not completely 100% followers of the Vedas anymore. We are not 100% followers of the Vedas anymore. When Vedas were ruling the world, or in other words, when everyone lived according to Vedic injunctions, these things are possible. But today, you can see that most of us are not following Vedic injunctions because the society has become like that. It's all fragmented and we have manufactured our own ideas about life. So, ma budhver dver nishidhairhi, at that time some of our activities will be forbidden by the Vedas, which it is, isn't it? Lot of our activities are forbidden even from the Vedic point of view. Nowhere in the Vedas you find to start all the factories, to exploit others, and things like that. You don't see that anywhere mentioned in the Vedas. Vedas don't talk about exploitation or starting factories and businesses and the lifestyle what we have created in this modern world, which is very dangerous from the Vedic point of view. So they are called Nishiddha Karma. Nishiddha Karma means that is forbidden for us to do, but we are doing it. Exploiting material nature, like this big oil exploration business, and looking for oil means looking for money, in other words, and in that greed we go on doing all this kind of nonsense in this world, isn't it? And it is very much acceptable thing now in the world, modern world. If you are a big conglomerate, you can do anything you like and then tell the world we are very religious and spiritual. Actually not. big multinational corporations, this is what they are doing, isn't it? They are engaged in such horrendous activities, Ugrakarmam Krishna calls them, in exploiting the nature, exploiting the people, and they are Nishiddha Karmam, forbidden from the Vedic point of view. One is not supposed to do such thing. Leave it anyway. We can't do anything about it. That will go on. That's the nature of this world. But important thing is, Nishiddha Karmam when you do, Kuhajidamivenam karma vajam pravartehi, that in our activities, in our words, and if such a thing happens, what should one do? Even if such a thing happens, durvarjam chedavaptam tadabighalubavel arpayel chit prakashe, that offer everything to Krishna. If it happens like that, you should not go and do it on your own. That is the important thing. As much as possible, we should not go out of Vedic injunctions. We should live our life within the Vedic injunctions. But due to circumstances, if something happens like that in life, that you are forced into a situation where you have to act in that way, not that you should go looking for it and saying that I'll offer everything to Krishna, but if you are forced to a situation where you have to do things in this world which are not totally approved by the Vedas, in such a situation, durvarjam chedavaptam tadabighalubave arpayel chil prakashe, that then in that case I will offer all that also to you, to Krishna. If you can offer that also to Krishna, that way that karma vasana won't develop in me again. They are more frightened about the karma vasana than the profit what is coming from the karmam. Industrialists are not like that, isn't it? Industrialists and big business corporations, what do they look at? They look at the figures, bottom line they call it, isn't it? Top line or bottom line, doesn't matter, whatever line it is. They call the bottom line, how much money have we made? This is what they think, share values have gone up or not. Very, very much against karma, getting bound and bound by the karma more and more. That's what's happening to these people who are absorbed in this. They are not free from karma. In this life, it may all appear very glorious for them. Wealth they have created and the jobs they have given. They are thinking that we have given so much work to so many people and enjoy. But the kind of activities they have engaged others also in forbidden activities means sinful reactions must come from that at some point in time. This is how we create the karma vasanas inside. But a devotee or a person who wants to free from the cycle of birth and death, he should think of karma in a different way. It is something, a block in his life, in his acquiring knowledge and bhakti and devotion. So how to free oneself from that and in what way one should execute karma, this is what is discussed here from now on. So, Krishna says here that Vedas are asking us to do karma, not to force us to do karma. It's not for that purpose Vedas are telling us to do. Somehow or the other, to withdraw from laukika karma, materialistic activities, and do it in such a way and put our attention towards vaidika karma. That is all these Vedic sacrifices are. See, karmic tendencies in everyone. So what did the Vedas, rishis have done? At least let him not go and do activities which are completely materialistic. That means exploitation of the material world. Instead, turn their attention to vaidika karma, Vedic activity, karma, like the sacrifices and all that. In due course of time, they will get released from the karma vasanas and they'll come to this platform of Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi means free from karma consciousness, that engaging in karma. And at that time, the mother Veda Mata, she is referred to as Veda Mata, she will shine inside with the proper knowledge. And with the result that self-realization becomes easier. Self-realization becomes easier. Now, what does this mean? This means that why we don't feel any success in our spiritual life. Success means, why do we not experience self-realization in spite of hearing all these things? Because of the very strong, powerful karma vasanas inside us, which has caused this problem for us. So, from now on, Krishna is saying here that the intention of the Vedas is not to get you caught up in karma. That is the most important thing. Karma is not the goal from the Vedic point of view. Karma is not the goal. And not to get you bound by karma. That is not the goal. How to get you released from karma and karma vasana, that is the goal of the Vedic sacrifices that is discussed in the Vedas. So Krishna is now going to talk about karma yogam. Krishna says there samatvam yogam uchyate. Later on he will say this. And also you will see that in Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, there is the statement yogaha chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti has to stop. Chittavritti is nothing but karma vasana, isn't it? If you look at it another way, what's all the chittavritti inside? Chittavritti means the activities of the mind. It is nothing but the karma vasana in another form flowing inside. That is where it's coming from. And Patanjali says there, once you stop this chittavritti, then your yoga state is perfect then. So, Krishna says here that whatever amount of vritti is inside, even if it comes from purva prarabdham, from prarabdha vasana, then if you can, even if you have to engage in that karma, but if you are able to stay as a witness rather than a doer, in that condition, Krishna says, if you don't allow the mind to become a doer, rather a witness, after a long time, the mind will withdraw from karma. Karma vasana will go away from inside. Then, because we made our mind to work hard many times before in the past, because of that, all this chittavritti has been created inside. Our mind has become active, isn't it? Because we have made the mind to work hard, in karma, engage in karma. The result of that was this chittavritti has developed inside. Krishna says here, by executing, allowing to stand there as a witness rather than a doer, and if you can conduct your activities in that way, Krishna calls it as yoga. Krishna calls it as yoga. Atma, the soul by nature, is eternal and it is fully conscious and it's always liberated. All these qualities are in relationship with the soul, isn't it? All these qualities are, and we are the soul, not the body. And not one of these qualities, what we are talking about, is we are experiencing today. So, and what is causing, why is it happening? Because of this thing called karma behind it. That's what is causing this block in us. So, to know that we are eternal, we are blissful, full of knowledge, and fully liberated, and we should not forget that this is our real identity. Real identity. When the mind gets moving, when the mind gets disturbed, we must know that we are not the mind. Mind is something like another thing what I see as an object. It's like an object, it is there. Body, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind. If you, with this realization, if you conduct your activities in this world as a witness, while executing the karma, you will see that normally desires come. Normally desires come while executing karma. But with this consciousness, if you execute the karma, you will see that let the desires come. Let the desires come. Because desires is a chittavritti. It is a chittavritti. That while executing any karma, the desires come not by asking us, isn't it? It comes on its own, without our approval. Without asking us, it comes. As soon as we start working, the desires come. So, Krishna says, when the desires are coming like that, don't give importance to that. Desires are in the form of asking for result, isn't it? We want some results from the karma. And at every step while executing a karma, we are very conscious what result is going to come out from that. So, Krishna's point here is, that free yourself when the desires are coming like that, don't give importance to it. And any amount of karma you can execute, any amount of desires, let it come. But learn how to stand out of it, stay out of it. I know it is a tall order, but sometimes it's very, because we are used to this life, what we are living today. But Krishna's point is, unless this is cultivated inside, the influence of mind on us will slowly go. Influence of the mind on us will slowly leave us. Otherwise, if we continue doing things, expecting all the results the way we want it, and same time we read Bhagavad Gita, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. In order that, how to get the mind's influence on us, that's what Krishna is giving us this technique, how to do that. That whatever you are executing in this world, execute it with the understanding that the results are meant for Krishna's happiness. And whether comes one way, favorably or unfavorably, that is Krishna's decision. So all we discussed so far, so all these things are kept in mind. And to be as a witness, to operate in this world, then the effect of mind will go away. Now what we are doing is everything what mind tells us, we do that. And the more we have freed ourselves from the influence of the mind, then Mother Veda, Veda Mata, she will reveal herself to us. The knowledge will be revealed to us. You see, in the past, Brahmanas also had to do a lot of karma in their life. They were not lazy people who are just sitting there. They were given so many tasks to do every day. Everybody, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, everyone had certain allocated tasks to do. And if you look at the Brahmana's tasks in a day, the moment they get up in the morning till they go to bed at night, they are very, very busy. They didn't have any free time. By the time they finish their morning duty, many cases, by the time they have their first meal, it will be probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They could have their first morsel of food, what they will eat. Continuously engaged in deity worship, chanting the holy name, and Agnihotram, they had to have the sacrificial fire burning, Sandhyavandanam, and Swadhyayam. Brahmanas' duties are discussed like this. They are meant to do all these things, right? And they had to practice this every day. No weekend, no holidays, bank holiday, nothing. Continuously, day after day, they were engaged in all these kind of activities. Brahmayagyam, Sandhyavandanam, like that they will say. Why was it kept like that? If you do like that, then you won't listen to your mind. Isn't it? If you are constantly given engagement, then you have no freedom to do what your mind is telling you to do. You have no time for that. Isn't it? Mind won't come on your way then. Suppose you are continuously engagement given to you. You are kept busy throughout the day. And by the time all these activities are finished, you are tired by 3-4 o'clock, then your mind won't go in the wrong direction to do something wrong in this world. In other words, they were protected from engaging in horrendous activities, ugrakarmam, by engaging them in this way. This was the purpose behind it. So if the Brahmanas are like that, then naturally the other three, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, will also stay within the limit. They won't go out of the way because Brahmanas are the head, isn't it? They are supposed to. Varnashrama dharma importance, Krishna is going to stress this. Why division is necessary and why it should function in that way. Even Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that I have not even completed my 50% of the work, he said. Because 50% he had this desire to develop a model society where a group of people at least practiced Varnashrama dharma in such a way that others could see that and follow it. That this is the way to live in this world. Not like the way capitalism and workers and businessmen and workers. That is our today's modern society, isn't it? Businessmen and the workers. This is not Varnashrama. Or his point was that this Varnashrama dharma he wanted to build into the society, but it didn't happen. Some or the other, it didn't happen. So, importance, because why? Dharmam Varnashramanam. Dharmam depends on Varnashramam. Shruti Pada Vihitam. It is injunction in the Shruti that Varnashram Dharmam is necessary in society. Tvalparatvena Bhaktya Kurvando Andar Viragam. And if it is executed with proper understanding and bhakti, Vairagyam will naturally come in the person. This is the benefit. Sages have tested everything and they have found the solution to the problem. So because of that, they introduced Varnashrama Dharma in the society, and particularly among the Varnashramis, Brahmanas were given the highest, most difficult task. Why? Whole day engaged in activities in which there is no profit. That is, you can see in there. Deity worship, Swadhyayam, Agnihotram, Brahmayajnam. There's totally something like 47 different samskarams for this mentioned. And if you look into each samskaram for a person to purify him, no material benefit in any of them. Everything for spiritual benefit. Why? We have a group of people at the end who live a life of austerity, penances, purity, truthfulness and perfect examples for the others. You can't make everybody in that category. That's not possible because everybody's karma vasana is different. At least a small group of people who have this perfect, ideally ideal persons in this world, who are signs of simplicity and purity, truthfulness. If we create a few people, at least in that way, they can be perfect examples. Others will automatically will be inspired by them. You don't have to even do the preaching. They themselves are the preaching. They themselves are the examples to others. So this is the goal of the Varnashrama Dharma Society. Varnashrama Society didn't say that everybody has to become a Brahmana. No, that was not expected. At least a few people among them who had that inclinations in that way, they should be trained. Now you have to train up Brahmanas. That situation has come. You have to train them up. But it is very difficult because it becomes very complicated when you have to pick and choose people and to train them. It gets quite difficult job. Everybody will say, I can also be a Brahmana. What will you say to them? Where do you draw the line? It is, and that's why so much confusion about it in the world today. Who is a Brahmana and who is not a Brahmana? But if you see Bhagavad Gita and if you read through it properly, you can see that Krishna's purpose of creating Varnashrama Dharma was that to have these people who are freed from this kind of mentality, that to exploit the nature and making money and all kind of things. So Brahmana's occupation was such, he was completely busy throughout life, but at the same time without any profit from anything. And naturally he has to live a simple life to do all these things. And truthfulness is a part of his nature, isn't it? If you do like that, what will happen? The influence on the mind on the person will go. The mind will not influence you anymore. Otherwise, all time we will be simply listening to the mind, which we all do now. We are completely listening to the mind, what the mind tells us to do. We think that to do what we like is called freedom, isn't it? We call freedom that, oh, if I have the freedom to do what I want, I call it as freedom. From the Vedic point of view, if you are not allowed to do what you want to do, that is called freedom. It's just the opposite. That not doing things what the mind dictates to you is your freedom. Krishna calls that as freedom. Not that you do things what the mind tells you to do. That's not considered to be freedom, because then you are a servant of the mind. The freedom is when you come out of the control of the mind. Freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the body. That is freedom. Not freedom for the mind, freedom for the senses, freedom for the body. That is slavery. That is slavery. You are a slave of all these things. Of what? The body, mind, senses. We have become a slave of that. But in the world outside, what do we see? When you have freedom for all these things, oh, we have got the freedom. They're shouting and fighting for all these things all the time. Isn't it? But from Krishna's point of view, freedom from the mind, freedom from the body, freedom from the intelligence, that is real freedom. Otherwise you are a slave. Krishna says you are a slave of all these things. That's how he addresses that. So, if you start doing everything according to the dictates of the mind, people will call you as a mad person, isn't it? Or if you try to act without the dictates of the mind, they'll say you are a mad person. Some people there are stories about this, that if we lose the control on the mind, simply under the dictates of the mind, if we start working, you know what will happen in this world. That many instances you see, sometimes some people completely lose the control of the mind And what happens? They jump into some tree and jump from there, thinking, oh, I'm trying an experiment. What's happening? What will happen if I jump from the top of the tree and kill himself? And then that was an experiment he was conducting. So what can you say? Oh, go to the 10th floor of the building and jump from there and see what happens. And all sorts of madness you see in this world happening in the name of this so-called freedom. Then, and eventually results in disaster. This is all coming because you have allowed the mind to dictate what you should be doing. So this is the madness, isn't it? And not only that, you will see everything what comes to your mind, you keep talking about it without any restrictions on that. So how to free yourself from the influence of the mind? Krishna says that is freedom. Mind will always desire something. And we shouldn't have a mechanism by which to fulfill the desires of the mind. And that is what the modern world is doing. When the mind is demanding something, we are developing new technology and mechanism to supply the fulfill the desires of this mind. And eventually you will see that the same thing will come and eat us in some form. This craziness what we are going after. Remember that story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhasmasura story, Vrugasura story. Vrugasura that worshipped Lord Shiva. And after he was a demon, and Srinarada Maharshi gave this instruction, Lord Shiva can be easily, very easily pleased, so worship him. So he worshipped Lord Shiva, and the worship itself is a very interesting way of worshipping, cutting parts of the body and offering into the fire. And Shiva didn't turn up very easily, and eventually when Lord Shiva came up, he says to him, first thing he asked him was, are you decided to come now, have you? So you see, devotee asking the Lord in this way. The Bhagavatam is beautifully described. It is at the very end of the 10th canto. You can see where it's kept, at the very end of the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. He says like this. And at that point, Lord Shiva asked Vrugasura, what are you looking for? What do you want from me, my dear devotee? Devotee says that, you know the blessing he asked. Whosoever head I put my hands on, he should immediately turn into ashes. So Lord Shiva hesitated to give this blessing to him, fully realizing that this demon will act and abuse it, this blessing. But he won't give it up. So when he insisted, he first thing he wanted to try it out was on Shiva himself. This is the type of devotees. And he wanted to try it on Shiva himself. So there, Sudeva Goswami says there, his intentions were not very pure. Who? Vrugasura's intentions were not very pure. He says the word, Gauri Harana Lalasa. In order to take Sri Parvati Devi from Shiva, his intention was, let Shiva goes to hell, or let him die so that I can have Sri Parvati with me. This was his intention in him. Gauri Harana Lalasa. Bhagavatam says like that. So these things will happen when there is no purity inside. If you engage in spiritual life, when there is no purity inside. So purification, that means his vasanas were very bad. It is because of these strong vasanas inside that in Karma Yogam, Krishna talks about first get rid of the vasanas inside, the dirt inside. And then this knowledge becomes much easier for accessibility. It's easily accessible. That's the point Krishna is saying here. Unfortunately, the world of science, what we are creating today, is nothing but that it is only going to create a mental torture for all of us, now or future, in some form or the other. It's already coming in different forms. You can experience in this world if you closely observe it. Our freedom is being taken away from us, one after the other. Isn't it? If you want to practice spiritual life, you are restricted by many ways, by the control from the government and from the scientists and from all these modern inventions. It happens in different ways. And it also says here that the control from the society, if you look into the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, you will see how we will lose our individual independence in this world to live properly. We will lose that independence one after the other. There's a whole chapter in the 12th canto talking about it. How things can get worse day by day. How things will get worse day by day. When somebody takes away your freedom to live in this world properly and everything is forced upon you, that if you don't want to work, you want to engage in spiritual activity, the society is telling you why you are not working. Why you are not working. First thing, they catch you there. And in this way, so many restrictions are put on us, isn't it? And they want to control us about your traveling in this world. They want to control. This is another symptom of this disease, that you can't travel freely in this world, where all sorts of restrictions are brought upon us, isn't it? So in Krishna's creation, these demoniac tendencies will grow very strongly with the advancement of Kali. And that you can see in a subtle level getting much, much more complicated. That the scientific inventions are all nothing but a product of this, isn't it? The latest one, yesterday we were reading that when you go into an airport now, they're going to put a new machine through which you walk through, whole thing is screened inside, completely naked, they can see the person inside, is able to see. So in this way, more and more developments will happen in this direction. Practically, you will have no freedom to do anything in this world. You'll be completely controlled by the system. System is already taking over. It's coming like a demon from all sides. And the latest thing is this thing called computer. This is the biggest demon. You will become victimized by the same thing. All your natural good feelings in the heart, your good consciousness will get destroyed one by one. This association with this thing called computer. And it's unfortunately that is our life today. We have no freedom to do anything. We are supposed to be living in this world in association with the nature. The sun, the stars, the rivers, the mountains, the forests, the trees, the plants, the animals, they are all a part of this big scheme, Krishna's scheme. We have no connection with any of these things now. So our life has gone in such an artificial direction, and because of society and the rules and regulations imposed by the government and the social demands, we have become practically like a robot. Completely programmed and operating like an animal in this world. No freedom. What possibility is there to understand any spiritual life and spiritual culture in this world today, what we are living? And therefore what happens, even spiritual life we have brought into this level, which is meant to free ourselves from the control of the mind, senses, intelligence. We have become more and more victimized because of the strong imposition of all these things on us. We'll discuss all this tomorrow. Our glory is to Srila Prabhupada.